And we are live. Welcome, folks, to another edition of the Survival Podcast. Today is Monday, January the 12th, 2026, which sounds just insane. I'll probably keep saying that for another couple of shows anyway. It sounds nuts that we've had over a quarter of a century happen since the year 2000. And many of us were, we were born back in 1960s and 1970s. Yeah. I remember being a kid in the 70s, and there were a few old-timers around that had an 18 at the beginning of their birth year and kind of be like, wow, you know. And I guess we're those people or becoming those people now. Another 10, 15 years, we really will be, right? We'll be, if you were born in 72, it'd be a 72 or like a 49er, right? All right, anyway, let's what are we going to talk about today? Well, this is going to be one of these shows that are my most popular shows. Now, they're my most popular shows in the first 48 hours after they're delivered. And then, you know, a week later, almost no one listens to them. And a year later, certainly nobody does. And people wonder why I don't do more of these shows, you know, that are current events and things that are going on in the world and news based and stuff. Given that I do get a much bigger turnout for them and a much bigger initial hit. And the answer is because I've been doing this for 18 years and I build long term. So we will do this from time to time because it affects the motivation behind all the action things we talk about, all the planning things we talk about, all the lifestyle design we talk about. But they will never become something like my everyday show is not going to be like this. Just if you're new around here and came in because of the topics or whatever, FOFO is happening in real time. And I don't say fool around or fluff around or whatever. Fuck around and find out is happening in real time for some people in the world. And given our lead story today is going to be about the woman that was shot up in Minnesota. You may think I'm going to tap dance on her grave or something. I'm not. But I'm going to do something that I don't think has been done by very many people. I think Colin over at the NRA, he did a pretty fair breakdown of it. I don't have him in the notes right now. But if I remember when I get done before I publish the audio site, I'll add that video to my audio show notes for the stuff that goes off on the podcast services like, you know, Apple Podcasts and Pocket Casts and Spotify and all that. That's about the only one that I've seen that was a complete, regardless of where they came down, by the way, either it was a justified or unjustified shooting. I've only seen one person actually analyze this completely logically and leave all the baggage behind. I'm going to try to do a little bit even of a better job than that. And everybody wanted to know last week, why are she talking about this on Thursday's show? Because, as expected, we have a hell of a lot more information now, both accurate information and misinformation now than we did then. Takes time to sift through that shit. And as something called a responsible fucking journalist, I try to get as much information as possible before coming out and reporting on something while everybody's all up in the air with their ass high, you know, over their shoulders. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about just like, how do you judge an officer involved shooting in the first place? Like, what should be the criteria for that? Regardless of, like if we took this particular instance out, how do we determine if the officer, when discharging their weapon, was right or wrong, given the legal situation in which they operate, not your moral opinions about it, including my own in some instances, at least anyway. And I'm going to give you an analogy of something I'm going to call the asshole neighbor that will make it very clear what actually went on here with no emotion. If you want to do it with no emotion, here's the secret. Most of you, including the ones that will agree with me about my conclusion, you do not want to do it with no emotion. You want to do it with lots of emotion. You want to either mock this woman or defend her as the next Mother Teresa. Neither of those are necessary or even valuable when it comes to making a discernment that is based on facts. Like Joe Friday, remember, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's what we're going to try to do today, balls and strikes. We're going to talk a little bit about the fact that as bad as the right is, the left has no credibility. I'm going to give you a few examples of that as well, because it plays right into what we're talking about here. And then we're going to move on to understanding these protests have never been what they look like. And we're going to give you some proof today, if you needed it, that many of these people protesting are not just paid, they're mentally ill. Extensively mentally ill. But we're also going to show you, and I'm going to prove to you beyond any reasonable doubt today, right? I'm going to prove to you behind any reasonable doubt that not only are these people paid to protest, more importantly, they're trained on how to protest. In fact, they are trained on how to look like victims. They are trained on how to take their fellow protester who's looking like a victim and how to draw attention to it and film it. I'm going to show you it happening in, of all places, a church. Not them doing it, because then how would you know, but them training to do it. And I will show you a chick that you'll look at and immediately go, Karen. And when you see her, and those of you on the audio only, this is the one video or one thing I'm going to show today that you might want to actually switch over to see, because her face looks exactly the way faces look in these protest videos. Exactly. And I won't have to tell the audience which one I'm talking about. If you're hearing me now, when I bring that video up later, you'll be like, there she is. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that lack of credibility in many things, including Venezuela, the protests, et cetera. And then we're going to talk about some stuff that's going on, because I do think we're starting to turn into a world of fuck around and find out. And I hate being on the side of the state here. And I'm going to start off with, you shouldn't be, nor should you be opposed. In other words, you should be neutral in making determinations. But the state is actually doing some really good things right now, in spite of doing, as always, many, many bad things. And the guy that's doing the most for humanity right now sure as hell ain't Donald Trump. His name is Robert Kennedy Jr. And I have to give Orange Man props for this, because Orange Man put that man exactly where I said I would put him. I said I would not let him anywhere near the EPA or anywhere near the economy directly. I would put him in HHS. That's where he is. What do you hear some of the new things that are happening and have been happening that nobody told you about? We're also going to talk about who's funding the protests. All of a sudden, the government's like, we need to figure out these senators and shit, Ted Cruz. We need to figure out who's funding these protests and hold them accountable. I'm going to remind you that I did a video 6 months ago that told you exactly who was funding the protests. And everybody screamed and yelled and made it about Donald Trump. I said, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about who. I am giving you the information as who is funding the protests. And you don't want to hear it because it doesn't match your narrative. My analysis holds up. There's been a recent released report by the government of who's funding the protests based on tax returns, right? And guess who it is? It's the exact same fucking people that I told you were doing it 6 months ago when the first big No Kings happened, which apparently we don't really mean that when we say it if we're the left. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to ask some other questions. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, but let's just dive on into it today. And we are going to talk about the food pyramid a little bit too. Absolutely. If you have any questions for me today, or things you want me to comment on, if you do not put question or comment in all caps in the live feed, this is not for people listening to the audio, for live feed viewers only that are watching me live, you put question or comment in all caps, then put your question or comment, and I might see it, I might start, and I might follow up with you. I will intend to do it for everybody, but I'm not going to promise to do what I can't promise to keep. All right, so let's start off with this shooting of this woman in Minnesota. And what I want to start off with is, I am not going to say anything bad about this woman as a person outside of the roughly minute and a half that we have video footage of where we know what she actually did and reports of what she had already done that day. So I'm not going to say those are bad. I'm just going to tell you what happened. But I'm not going to say, you know, like some retard saying she was arrested like 87 times. It turns out the woman in the arrest record they're showing you is like 4 years older than her. It's not her. Right. I'm not going to talk about the fact that she was a lesbian or any shit, because the first thing we have to do to judge something this complex is no fucking emotion. Imagine that. Right. Like, you're lucky I saw you, bud. You didn't put question in all caps, but I happened to see that one. So I got you there, bad hog. Anyway, you have to get rid of emotion. You can't look at this and start off with being emotional to judge what happened, and then expect anybody who's a reasonable, logical person to take your opinion seriously. Even if your opinion matches theirs, if they're being critical as a thinker, and this person's like, she deserved it. Like, I'm not listening to you. She was a wonderful woman just trying to get home. I'm not listening to you either. You're ignoring the facts on the ground. We have to start with just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. The minute you take a side, you forfeited anything approaching an informed opinion. there's a whole lot of my special friend libertarians out there, right? I'm an actual libertarian. This is what a libertarian looks like. But I have special libertarian friends, those a little bit too far down the autistic spectrum, who immediately, you're siding with the state. You're siding, I'm not siding with the state. You're siding with anything but the state. That's what you're supposed to do as a libertarian. No, you're supposed to side with logic and common sense. So when you start out from the standpoint is, it has to be that they did it because they're ICE. They have to be wrong because they're the federal government. They have to be wrong because I'm for open borders. They have, okay, I don't want to hear a fucking thing you have to say. Your opinion is not valid. Likewise, we always need to just comply with law enforcement no matter what they say at all times. Just do what they say and nothing bad will ever happen. That's nonsense. She deserved it because I don't want to hear another word. I don't want to hear another word. You have to come at this from a logic and fact standpoint, or you are not qualified to give your opinion. And as I've said, I've heard exactly, at least as a content creator putting it out, or a news media or anything, I've heard exactly one person do it this way. One. And that includes Fox News and Newsmax and whoever you like. I have heard one actually just devoid of emotion do it, so I'm going to attempt to do it myself. Everything I'm about to tell you is a fact and provable so. The woman who was shot was an active and trained protester and most likely paid. Not, I can't say for sure, but I would say the preponderance of the evidence would be that she was a paid protester. She was using tactics that if you examine what people are being trained to do and taught to do by the organizers of these protests are exactly what they're being trained to do. She was driving around all over where this operation was going on, which, by the way, the first person they arrested that day was somebody guilty of sexual assault on a minor. Just saying, okay? Interfering with active federal agent investigations and operations. There is a word for what that is, and it is a criminal offense, and that is obstruction of justice. And at the federal level, it is, in fact, if prosecuted fully, a felony. It is not protesting. It is not protesting under the protected version of the term under U.S. law, federal, state, or otherwise. To take your vehicle into a street where it doesn't belong and pull it so that it blocks traffic in both directions, endangering others, and specifically prohibits law enforcement vehicles from moving down the road. That is obstruction. It is textbook obstruction, and it's something that carries with it a multi-year federal prison sentence if fully prosecuted. And that is what this woman was doing all day. Because of the way it's going on, because of the way it's being perceived, to be honest, and I think it's been too much the case, ICE has used kid gloves with these people. We'll get into it more later in a different part of the show today, but I'm going to tell you it's as simple as this. If I'm walking down the street and a cop has somebody pulled over for speeding, and I don't like the way the cop's talking to the guy for whatever reason, and I say to that cop, hey, leave that guy alone. What are you doing? And the cop says, shut up and get out of here. If I stay there and keep heckling him, I've not done anything illegal. If I walk between him and that vehicle, whether I touch him or not, if he wants to at that point, he can legally place me under arrest and charge me with obstruction of an officer in the commission of his duties. And 99% of the time, I'm getting at least a misdemeanor conviction if I do that and they can prove I did. Okay? So what this woman did was way more than that. Again, we have to judge this on the law, not what you want the law to be. Because the officers are operating under the law, and they are upholding the law as they have been trained to do so. Whether you or I like it or not, it doesn't matter, okay? She was warned, therefore, multiple times, if you keep this up, we're going to arrest you. She was known to these people. They were radioing back, she's here now, she's there now, she's here now, she's there now. She was not on her way home. She was not dropping her kids off at school. They were out there actively interfering and trying to document it to create an event that would look bad for law enforcement. That was their goal. They succeeded, but not in the way that they wanted to. But that's what was going on, right? And it wasn't body cam, by the way. It's important that we be accurate. And I'm not picking on you, Cabo, okay? It was not body cam footage. That footage is from a cell phone video being held by the officer who was videoing himself as he viewed the situation, because when you're being videoed, the best thing you can do is video back. So that's what actually, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that's, it's important that we use the right terms, because we're now in a position where anybody who's wrong about any fact that they present will then be attacked, and they'll use it on ad hominem to discredit what you say. So it was officer cell phone, exactly, as Pip and I said. Okay. Now, she reached the limit on the patience of these officers. We're done. We've told you multiple times that if you continue to act the way that you are, you're not protesting, you're not on the side of the street, you're not holding up a sign, you're not chanting slogans, you're physically intervening in legal operations that we have not only every right to do, but we have been ordered to do by the people we work for. Okay? The Nazis have to shut up. I don't want to hear you. If you're going to start that shit, well, the Nazis were only following. You are a fucking adult child, if that is you. You're a fucking adult child. This is not Nazis. These are not people going to fucking concentration camps. These are people in the country illegally, whether you think they should be allowed to be here or not. You don't even know what I think about that. I haven't told you yet. Okay? I'm judging the law as the law is written and as it is to be enforced. Because that's how you do this, even if you don't agree with it. Because that's logic and reason. Okay? Nobody's being executed. Nobody's driving around, going into schools and pulling children out of chairs like all these myths. This is not what's happening. This woman pushed her luck to the extreme, and eventually she got called on her bullshit. And she was a smart ass when she did so. We can see that from many of the videos that were released. Smart, smirking, you can't do anything, I'm going to do what I want, that type of mindset. And it works right up until where it doesn't. And when they said, that's it, you're done, get out of the vehicle. Okay, when a law enforcement officer orders you to exit a vehicle, there are cases where if you stay in the vehicle, things may work out okay for you. And there's cases where I'd say maybe you should. One guy alone on the side of the road, and he seems like he's all roided up or something, maybe you should. Case by case, can't tell you when and not to, but maybe. But when you're surrounded by multiple law enforcement agents, you've been doing this all day, and they say, done, you're getting arrested. You know what you do? You get the fuck out, and you get arrested, because you're not going to be in jail for very long anyway. And I'm going to say something else, and I'm not playing a blame game here. I'm just telling you the truth based on what I observed. If her wife had not been there and did not scream, drive, baby, drive, she would have gotten out of the vehicle. And she'd be alive today, and she'd probably already be back on the street still protesting. That doesn't mean it's her wife's fault. It means that that statement was the causal moment that that woman made a decision between stop or drive over an officer standing in front of you. He shouldn't have been there. I don't care if he should have been there. He was. He was. She made that choice at that moment. Right? Here's the retard. You know what? I defended you the other day. I'm done. I'm done with this guy. I don't mind you saying shit about me if it's true. I really don't. But when people like this retard here says what he just said in the comments and he's gone now, no, I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. Don't put words in my mouth. I have no problem saying what I think, you fucking retard. Let me get back to it. It was a fatal error. It was a fatal error on her part. You can't look at this and say, well, what if he had done this? And what, you don't get to do that. And if you end up, and see, here's an example. The philosopher says, but incompetent law enforcement is a problem. Sure it is. But let me keep reading. If he's standing in front of the vehicle, that's a problem. No, it's not when you're detaining a suspect. No, it's not when you're detaining a suspect. Especially when you're part of a group detaining a suspect. Especially when the suspect's vehicle is moving around. Especially when you're standing on ice. See, this is a person. This is a person who's come here with a predetermined conclusion. It's the government, so they must be wrong. He stood in front of the vehicle. Cops stand in front of vehicles all the time. He also, they were moving as the vehicle was moving. Okay, but let's just, here's the thing. This is how we have to judge an officer-involved shooting. You have to do this with this in mind from a legal standpoint, not from what I want. Because the problem is so many of you are worried about what you want instead of what is. So you're not grounded in reality. Number one, what are the officers trained to do in specific situations? What are officers trained to do in specific situations? And this is absolutely correct right here. He didn't get in front of the vehicle until it backed up. He didn't get in front of, that's exactly the truth. And if you look at it, she backs up and he moves in front of the vehicle. He actually moves to the opposite of the direction the vehicle's moving. She put the vehicle in gear, slammed on the gas, and the only reason he's probably not dead is the vehicle did not get immediate traction because there was ice and snow in the street. But anyway, what are they told to do? What are officers trained to do? Well, part of the training is, for these guys, when these people continuously agitate and continuously commit the crime of obstruction, and they're first trained, their instructions are very clear, or there'd be a lot more arrests, which there probably should be. Try not to do that unless you have to. However, when they get to a certain point, they're detained and arrested. When an officer detains you, you don't get to leave, or it wouldn't be a detainment. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that, okay? What did the officer see from their point of view right up until the shots were fired? You have to evaluate that. Not 1 millisecond after. Anything you saw happen after bang is irrelevant, period. Because the officer cannot have foreknowledge, and neither could you if you were the officer in that situation. So you also have to only look at what the officer could see based on everything they knew about the situation, their vantage point. So man, the wheels were turned this way or that way. I want you to go stand in front of a fucking SUV, 2 feet in front of it, looking at the window, focus on where the driver would be, and tell me you could see where the fucking wheels are, and you'd be able to think about that in that situation. And if you say you would and you could, then you're a liar and I don't care about your opinion. Okay, so that's what we have to do. What could the officer see? What could the officer perceive? What was the situation up until the shot was fired, not 1 second after? Does that make logical fucking sense? Right? Does that make logical sense? To me, it does, because I can't judge somebody on, but she missed. Imagine if instead of this was a car, this was a gun. Well, she took a shot, but she pointed the gun to the side. So it was just a warning shot. She didn't intend to hit anybody. And then she was just leaving and they shot her and murdered her. Get the fuck out of here. We're going to talk about trigger words too, like murder later, just different words than that, that the media uses to control your tiny little brains. Okay. And then what was the cause of the confrontation in the first place? How did the confrontation occur? I would actually say that even with everything else being the case, there might be some case to be made that the officer was wrong here. If this woman really was just minding her own business and just making a U-turn to avoid the situation, all the narratives that you've been given that are lies, if the cause was the officers for no reason engaged with a person who was doing nothing wrong at all, maybe we have to be a little bit more harsh on our judgment of the facts. But that is not what happened here. This woman, multiple times that day, committed a crime. It is a crime. You don't maybe think it should be a crime. It is a crime. She was told it was a crime, and she was told to cease, and she was told if you continue to do this, you will be arrested. When the time came for her to be arrested, she decided to be a Marvel superhero and drive, baby, drive. And sadly, and I mean this sincerely, very sadly, it cost that woman her life. Okay, so the cause of the confrontation was the woman's own actions in this situation. That is not my opinion. That is exactly what happened here. And if you don't believe that, it's because you don't want to, not because you have any facts whatsoever to back it up. I'm sorry. Was the discharge of the weapon consistent with law and procedural training? This is a judgment. I think the preponderance of evidence is on the side of yes, it was, because a vehicle is considered a weapon when used as such, equal to or greater than that of a firearm by law, period, the end, infinity. And it is. I can kill way more people with my pickup truck way faster than I can with a gun. I promise you, I just need one crowded street to prove it, and I would have to remove my morals where I'd be willing to. But you can set up dummies or something, and I'll show your ass how many people I can kill with a vehicle. We've seen it happen. We've seen it done. We know. When you have a 4,000, 5,000, 6,000-pound vehicle moved by an internal combustion engine, then you can kill lots of people really fast with it. And when somebody makes an action that puts a life at risk and they are fleeing, law enforcement has a reasonable viewpoint that this person may harm somebody, not just the person who does the shooting, but may harm somebody else. This is from what I can see. Now, this should be judged internally. And if found to be possibly wrong, then this officer should be tried for it, and a jury should make that determination. There's a big if in there, though. But that one piece does require examination, and then under what penalty of what law would that fall, given how far off, whether or not it was consistent with training in the law. Okay? Yeah? And most important of all things, a reality check devoid of your bias because you were not there. You cannot take the stance of, but he could have, or he should have, because that didn't happen. You can't say, well, he got out of the way eventually and she would have just slid by and not hurt him because she did hit him. And it doesn't matter. I don't care if do you know why he got out of the way? Because when somebody's trying to fucking kill you, you get off the X. That's also part of law enforcement training. And what are you training? Get off the X and return fire. If she shot at him, nobody would say that this was unjustified. Well, actually, the left would. But she only shot at him because she had to, because he's a Nazi. But many of the people that are kind of wishy-washy on this would be like, oh, it's an equally deadly weapon. Now, did she intend to? Doesn't it matter? Because you're standing in front of a vehicle. You're a law enforcement officer. You were told, stop this person. This person is now under arrest. They are detained. Not might be, not possibly. They are detained, and they charge you with a vehicle. And I'm telling you, I think that guy would have been flat out run over, and if not dead, seriously injured, had that vehicle not for just a fraction of a moment slipped when she first hit the gas. And that vehicle was moving way faster than some of the appearance is are from the different angles. When you actually look at the best video we have of what happened, where you see the officer get knocked backwards, that movement was relatively fast compared to a human being's response time. He's a lucky man that he got out of the way. And you have to reality check it. Now, plenty of you right now are mad at me, but here's a couple things you need to do to check your anger. Number one, I didn't tell you anything that wasn't true. Number two, I remain open to the fact that there's one point in there that doesn't need to be examined. Number three, my opinion will not affect the fucking outcome at all. So if you're mad at me for my opinion of something that I don't have any actual impact on, then you need to go look at the man in the mirror and talk to that person, or the woman in the mirror, talk to that person and ask why you are so emotionally invested in my opinion. You tuned in by your own free will to get my opinion, and now you don't like it, so now you're mad at me. I didn't make you show up today. I'm not the president. I didn't phone up all the networks and say, carry my message. I went on YouTube and you came here. And here's the thing. No one's going to be able to dispute this. You're going to say dumb shit like, but cops are supposed to de-escalate. I don't care. I'm talking about 30 fucking seconds and what happened in that 30 seconds, because that's how a jury would judge it. And the only way I think, again, unless there is something internal that this guy wasn't supposed to do what he did, and he was acting counter to his training and counter to procedure, unless that's there, the only way you get a conviction of this guy is with a stacked Minnesota jury, which the state of Minnesota would very much like to do right now. Right? And they're, if they're trained to approach in a tactical way, don't worry about if they're, no. I'm telling you right now, when police tell you you are under arrest and to get out of a vehicle, the same thing to do is get out of the vehicle. And I'm telling you also, if that woman's wife didn't shout, drive, baby, drive, 99.9% likelihood that's what she would have done. They're trained to be arrested. She was in a high. I don't think this woman wanted to kill that man. I don't think she wanted to hit him. I think in her tiny brain, she actually believed she could turn the wheel and not hit him. Her intent doesn't mean anything. Let me explain it. I'll give you a few analogies today. Okay. But here's one analogy. It's a real world analogy. So the second one I'm going to give is your story. Back in 2012, we went to SHOT Show out in Vegas, and my wife and I were there together with some friends. And so we went and did some things other than SHOT Show. And I can't remember the place, but there's like this big ass canyon near Vegas. And we went out to it, and there's all these hiking trails and beautiful rocks and red dirt and everything. And some of the drop offs are like, you take one more step and you're going to die. And there's no guardrails. There's no change. There's no nothing. And seeing this and knowing my wife being curious, I'm like, honey, stay the hell back from those places. And if she got one step closer and I was comfortable, I'd treat her like a kid. And because I love my wife and I don't want her to die, grab her by the arm. I said, stay back. She thought I was being overreactive. We got back to our room, turned the TV on, local news, somebody right where we were standing, literally right where we were standing, over and dead. That person made a poor choice, but I didn't say they deserved what happened to them. They made a poor decision, and reality doesn't care about your intentions, your emotions, or what a nice person you are. Reality is gravity. You decided to go outside the bounds of reality for 0.1 seconds, and reality wins that. When a police officer points a gun at you while you're behind the wheel of a vehicle and you step on the gas, that's what you have done. You've stepped outside of reality. So I am not saying that she deserved it. I am not saying that it's not tragic. I'm saying that the preponderance of the blame goes on the party that interfered and then did not comply. And again, this isn't she was minding her own business, told to comply and didn't comply. She instigated the situation. She instigated the conflict. Okay, here's another example, though, that might make it even more clear, even though this one is hypothetical. We all live in a neighborhood together. And we have a neighbor named Bill. Bill is a fucking asshole. Everybody agrees that Bill's caused so much trouble, Bill deserves a good old-fashioned trip behind the woodshed ass-kicking. But before the community police can handle Bill in a manageable way that might just give him a little bit of a come-to-Jesus moment, Stan decides, fuck this shit, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk off his ass, he kicks Bill's door open. And he says, okay, motherfucker, I'm here to kick your ass. Bill, who knows he's an asshole, so he's always got his gun near him, picks up a .45 and blows Stan the fuck away. And you say, hey, everybody knows Bill was an asshole. He committed murder. And we all agree Bill's an asshole. In fact, we agree Bill's the kind of person that actually would murder somebody if he got a chance to. But Stan kicked his door in at 2 o'clock in the morning drunk. What would any jury say? And what would any logical person, even a person who hates Bill, say? Stan was stupid, and because Stan was stupid, Stan's dead. Would we say Stan deserves to die? He was drunk. He was upset. Maybe Bill pissed on his freaking kitten or something. I don't know. Like, maybe what he was doing was even, you can understand why he did it, but it was still stupid. It was still outside the bounds of reality, and it resulted in his death. And you can't punish Bill, even though Bill has plenty of other things to punish him for. I like that analogy because it takes away whatever you think about ICE, whatever you think about immigration, whatever you think about deportation. But again, I do want to point out, and this is irrelevant to the woman getting shot, but for those of you with that problem, the people that they arrested that whole last week in Minnesota were really, really bad people that we should not want in our country. Period. Right? Is Bill still a Nazi? Let's say Bill's a Nazi. Bill has a fucking swastika flag flying in his front yard, but same scenario. I don't care. If you kick his door in at 2 o'clock in the morning, he has every right to shoot you, even though we all agree the world would be a better place if he was taking a dirt nap. It doesn't matter. You can't do that. This woman did things that you cannot do without expecting to take your life at risk. Now, do I think that maybe had this officer conducted himself slightly different, she might be alive today? Yes. Do I think we'd be better for it? Yes. Do I think that makes him guilty? No. Because how many times in your life can you think back and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have, or I wish I would have? It's amazing the people that have never done anything approaching a true high-stress job will tell people to do high-stress jobs every day, how to do their job. Now, I've seen the way these guys conduct themselves, these ICE agents. I've seen video after video of people spitting on them, yelling at them, screaming at them, challenging them. I'll show you some of that in a little bit. And I've seen them stay so I could not do the job, because if you talk like that to me, I'm going to knock you the fuck out. Right? I do not have the self-control that the majority of these men have. And I respect them for that, if nothing else. Because I'm telling you, right in the mouth, right in the fucking mouth. And so when one of them does something that actually allows for the use of force and they get their ass thrown to the ground or something, yes, I laugh. Because you deserve it. If you're doing that to another person, no matter what their job is, doesn't matter. But what about the Nazis? They're not Nazis. Shut up. You have no place here. You have no place here if you're going to refer to immigration and customs and what have you and border patrol as Nazis. They're not Nazis. I don't like everything they do either. We would have a totally different immigration policy if I was in charge. But I'm going to tell you this about immigration just in general. This is leaving this topic for a minute on the girl here. Yeah, we love feds here. You're such a retard. Either that or if you're being sarcastic, I don't mean to pick on you, man. But I don't think you are. On immigration, this is how I look at it, and I legitimately do. First of all, you can have a very well-run country with tight safeguards to make sure it's not abused and have a welfare state. You can do. I don't want to do it, but it can be done, okay? And some nations have actually pulled it off, so you can't say it can't be done. It can't be like a full-on everybody gets welfare, but anybody that really needs it gets it. You can do that. And you can put in incentives to where you can't lay in it like a hammock, but you can make it work. You can also have a nation that is very much an open borders nation. And even some nations in like the Middle East are, but they're not welfare states, at least not for the people that come from outside. They have to get nothing for that to work. You can either have a pseudo welfare state or a no welfare state and open borders, but either, you know, if there is any form of welfare, any immigrant cannot partake in it at all. And that's stability. You can't have both. So if you think we need a welfare state, then you have to be by default for a very secure border. Or if you want the border wide open, then you have to clamp down on the welfare state. Since we're not going to clamp down on the welfare state anytime soon, your assertion that, well, I agree with that, so just open the border, doesn't work. Then all your efforts, if you believe in political effort, need to go towards shutting down the welfare state. Then we can talk about the border. That's number one on this. Number two, and I think this is critically important as well. I wouldn't want to be president, because you can't get shit done as president. We've seen that. King, for like 5 years, fix shit and go away. I would consider that. I would be the king of no kings. Okay. And I view it this way. There is no nation, despite all of the propaganda about how terrible it is in America and how awful it is and how everybody's racist and it's systemic and blah, 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 patriarchal and blah, blah, blah. And women have no, all the bullshit is all fake. Okay. And you know it's fake because there is no nation people try harder to immigrate to. I don't know who's number two, but they're so distant. They're not even in the same fucking building. They're not in the same county. They're barely in the same state. That's how divergent number one and number two are in people that want to come to a place. Meaning we are the premier destination for everybody in the world. And when you're the premier destination, you should have an exclusive entrance policy, and it should actually cost money to get in the door. We should sell access to this country and only to the best people to help us get what we want done in our country. And that's not 19 kabillion freaking Indians and Pakistanis under H-1Bs. Thank you, Trump, for that bullshit. And by the way, you people, like, I have a lot of people down here in Texas always harassing. Abbott's letting all these Greg Abbott and any governor in Texas has no say over somebody with an H-1B visa being in their state. None. You don't get it. They don't have any say. It's a federal issue. This is all orange man, these H-1B visas. You wouldn't have any of that shit if it was me. You want in? You better have something that makes my country better. And it ain't a 68 IQ and a need for welfare. And it, yes, it will cost you. Every year that you're here as a visitor, it will cost you because we're the exclusive club of the world. And that's running America for Americans. That's not very democratic. I don't want a fucking thing to do with democracy, by the way, if you can't tell. That's very much a republic, though. That's how a republic would work. The republic is run first, like a co-op is, for the needs of the members. Everybody outside is second. And anybody that wants to come in and visit, they pay more than the co-op member. They pay retail, the co-op member pays wholesale. See how that works? That's how it fucking works. That's what I would do. It's hypothetical, so you want to be mad about it, go ahead. You're mad about something that's never going to happen. All right, so I also want to talk about the lack of credibility of the media for a while, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Just terminology. Let's talk about Venezuela for that, to begin with. Now, a lot of you are going to be, Jack's okay with the United States invading every country. Shut up. No, I'm not. I never said we should do it. I never said we should do any of it. I do think Maduro not being in Venezuela is a good thing, though. I kind of actually align with John Fetterman on that and Rand Paul. That's an odd thing to say, but it's true. Okay. But the media's own standard, Maduro was arrested. Why are they using the word kidnapped? Now, look, I know I have special libertarian friends, and what I'm about to ask you, they would use the word kidnapped. But people that wouldn't, you don't get to say it now, okay? If I ended up being a big-time drug dealer, and the government collected a bunch of information showing that I was a big-time drug dealer, they went to the courts and said, we want a warrant for this person's arrest. They notified me to come in, and I said, go get effed. And I was somewhere they couldn't get me, at least at that moment. And they went as far as to go before a grand jury and secure an indictment in absentia. And so I had both a warrant for my arrest and a grand jury indictment for my prosecution. And then federal agents found out, oh, shit, he's holed up in a single-wide mobile home in Montana. And they came in and they got me. And they put me in handcuffs and flew me to the, you know, federal district in New York that Maduro's in. And it was a big enough story, because I'm not, but if I was, and they said, we got him. Even if they thought, hey, Jack's a good guy because he was giving drug money to orphans or something like that, right? They would never say, they kidnapped Jack Spierko. They abducted him. They would never say that. So don't say it now. Because by the media's own standard for what a lawful arrest is, Maduro was arrested. Well, he was a sitting president. Y'all wanted to arrest Donald Trump when he was a sitting president, so go get fucked. And I don't think that doesn't absolve you from getting arrested. First of all, 60 countries say he's not a legitimate president, but I don't care if he is. I don't care if he is. It's an arrest. Even if I disagree with the arrest, it's still an arrest. It's not a kidnapping. I'm sorry. We know what, and we know why they use the words. Okay. Now, Venezuela was not invaded as we use the word. My bigger problem isn't even the word invasion. If you want to say the United States invaded Venezuela for 15 minutes to arrest Nicolas Maduro, fine. Okay. That was an invasion. It's not an invasion now. We're not there. The way they're talking, if you were a third party observer that was completely uninformed, like, oh, 90% of people in America, you'd think there was an active fight going on there because they also use the term at war. We're at war. We have two wars going on. We have no fucking wars that we're fighting. Now, unfortunately, we still bomb somebody every other fucking 3 weeks. I'm not for that either, but we don't have a fucking active war anymore, let alone two. It's Iran. In Venezuela, it's really three, because we're going to invade Greenland. We're not going to get into that right now at this moment, but that's also wag the dog bullshit nonsense. And France saying, if they invade, we will attack them. Shut the fuck up, France. You can't find your own assholes. This is all nonsense. Can you guys not see that? Right? Venezuela was not invaded, and there is no invasion, and there is no war. It was an active war. An active war only creates a war if the other side decides to engage in a war due to the act of war. There is no war. One man was arrested from his bed in the middle of the night who thought nobody could touch him. I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not sure that's a bad thing, right?
I'm not sure that's a bad thing. And people say, well, what if other countries do it because we did it? And now go ahead, see what happens. Go ahead and see what happens. If, you know, what if Putin says, because Trump did that, I'm going to go arrest Zelensky. If Putin could just go in and snatch Zelensky out, he'd have done it. He don't give a fuck what Trump does. Quit being a child. These are the arguments of children at field day at fucking fourth grade. But if Billy can throw his arms that way when he does a long jump, why can't Tom? I mean, this is so fucking dumb. Quit being children. Grow up. Grow the fuck up. This is the real world we live in. You know, I shared a meme made by a guy called HoMath on Facebook this weekend, and it's the bell curve. You know, and like the middle is like 64%, right, or 74% of the bell curve. And he's standing up on top of the bell curve in this little drawing, and it says, this is how things work, and that's just me. And then you are like way over on the right, and you say, what about this one here pointing out the 1%? No. You can't be taken seriously if you do that. U.S. oil companies, this is the truth, whether you like it or not, had oil leases they purchased in Venezuela. So when people say, Maduro took oil back for the people of Venezuela, no. No. There were lawful contracts with U.S. oil exploration companies that said, we will build the infrastructure, we will pump the oil, and we will pay X percent to you as the landowner, and those contracts were signed and paid for. The oil companies then invested billions of dollars, right, based on those agreements. Well, and you got people in Congress, like, I'm go back to Rand Paul, like, because I love Rand, but sometimes Rand's wrong. Well, when they go to foreign countries and invest, they know the risks they're taking. They're not investing. They made a purchase agreement for the rights. It's not like they bought into the Venezuelan stock market and lost their ass. That's different. If I came to you, but you, let's say you came to me, and I didn't own 3 acres. I own 3,000 acres. And it turned out there was a whole fuckload of oil under my property, and you were, you know, president of U Oil Inc., and you said, Jack, you got a lot of oil down there. And I went, yeah, I do. Pretty happy about it. And they go, you know, it doesn't benefit you. And I go, what do you mean it doesn't benefit me? You go, well, you can either sell the land with the rights to somebody else and profit from it, or you can keep the land and the oil can be extracted, but you, sir, do not have the ability to get the oil out of the ground. And I go, huh, you're right. And they say, let me tell you what we'll do. We're going to write you a big-ass fucking check right out of the gate. We're going to put some roads in, and we're going to put some rigs in, we're going to put a bunch of infrastructure in, we're going to start pumping oil, here's where we will touch and here's where we won't touch, we'll follow our rules, you follow your rules, and we'll cut you a check once oil starts flowing every month. And I say, well, hell, now I can get me some money out of the soil, and I let you do it. And you do what you're supposed to do. About 3 years into it, once the oil starts flowing, I go, you know what? I think I can bring in some cheaper guys to run these rigs and get the fuck off my property. How do you feel about that? Am I legally right in that? No, I am not. So much so that world courts, not U.S. courts, have repeatedly sided with the oil companies and ordered Venezuela, if you're not going to give them back their rights, pay them for what they did. And Venezuela said, big middle finger, no. So this is not just a law enforcement. This is an enforcement of the rights of other people who tendered compensation and work. You'll never hear that. I'm not even saying it makes it okay. I'm just saying that's kind of an important detail. That's kind of an important thing to know if you're going to have an opinion about this. And then I want to move on to these protests as a whole and just how there is no credibility left in media and certainly not on the left. Now, I'm going to say something else, too, because I can understand if you come here with a preconceived idea or you don't know me, how you think this guy's incredibly right wing. I think that the right in America, the right in the news, the right wing organizations, the right wing government, the right wing everything has a tiny little bit of credibility, just a little bit. Like on a score of 1 to 10 with or 1 to 100, and 100 is like fully credible, you can trust everything they say, they have about like a 15, and that means 85% of the time they're full of shit. But I'm going to tell you, I think the left has a zero. Zero. None. And it's one of the big reasons is because of these protesters and how they conduct themselves. Not all these paid protesters, not all these protesters are paid, but a huge number of them are. And we know that. And it's been proven. And anybody, if you say today that no, they're not, let me tell you something. You are either willfully retarded, because ignorant doesn't even cover it at this point, or you're retarded. You have chosen not to know. I'll give you three things. You're willfully retarded, actually retarded, and incapable of figuring it out, or a liar. Because we know they're paid. Plenty of them admitted to being paid. This is wide scale known and accepted that these people are paid. Well, people say, well, they're not all paid. I agree. Do you know why you pay protesters? So that you create attention and hopefully you then create an organic response. This is like how you use paid search marketing to get organic search marketing to work. If I can put out enough messaging and advertising in over the radio and the TV and the internet, eventually I can stop advertising and let the viral effect take over. So when they go out and they hire these people and they bring like 300 boomers in, and if you notice how many of them are boomer, old boomer ladies mostly, and some guy standing there like he doesn't know where he is, they told me Lawrence Welk was going to be here, right? That's why. Because if you get people out there, and by the way, what a perfect group to put out there, because you know the cops aren't going to come in and start macing grandma, at least until other people show up and give a reason for it. Okay. So it's and if anything happens to any of them, the senior citizen's a victim. Yeah. Okay. Riots always come from the protests eventually, sooner or later. You know, there's a stack of bricks just sitting right there for, there's nothing being built, but for some reason there's a big old stack of bricks there. You know, somebody takes the bricks away and somebody goes out and starts handing out hammers so they can bust chunks of fucking rock off the curbs. We've got video of that happening, right? Like, there's always riots eventually. Sooner or later, there's riots. That's the plan. They want riots. And when I, you know who they are? They are not even the Democrats in office. They love it when it happens, but when I say they want it, it's people paying for it. You ever notice the people that pay for shit generally get what they paid for? So, again, ask yourself who's paying for it. People funding this shit love it when a protester gets killed. The day that woman got shot, the people funding this, like the Soros, and the Soros is in the world, the Tides Foundation, right? The Ford Foundation. The people actually pumping the money went, got it! We got it! Finally, we got it! And now they're going to just bite onto it and run with it and try to create George Floyd 2.0 for more riots. And how do you know that was always the goal? Okay, because I'm about to show you in a few moments protesters being trained how to protest and how to create the illusion of victimhood and how to interfere with law enforcement. Okay, if you get enough people to do this for long enough, sooner or later, something's going to go wrong and somebody's going to get shot or hurt really bad. There is no doubt that sooner or later it will happen. And it's amazing to me, honestly, that this is the only one that has happened so far, because there's been a couple thousand opportunities and only one went bad. That tells you a lot, too, about the people that are being villainized in all of this, because they're dealing with this shit every fucking day. The dude that shot this lady 6 months ago, he was drugged 300 fucking feet by somebody that rammed him with a car. And now they're trying to turn that around on him and say, well, he had PTSD. That's why he shot her and he shouldn't have. Shut the fuck up. We already did that today. I'm not going to go do it again. The people funding this shit do love it. And I want to show you now protesters in a church being trained how to look like a victim. And I want you to, I'm not going to say who it is, but look at, you can already see her, can't you? Can you see Karen there? You see her face? How many times have you seen that face? Let me play this. This is going to be one of those things like you might want to, like, I'm going to play a video for you in a couple seconds after this one, but you don't need to see it to realize how deranged people are. This one, this is very visual. I'm sorry for the people on audio only.
Has already started. As we said, people have been doing the same thing. This was an event at a church there on Monday night. People acted out immigration detainments and the rest of the room practiced filming them and making noise to call attention to them. Has already started, as we said, people have been doing the same thing. This was an event at a church there on Monday night. People acted out immigration detainments, and the rest of the room practiced films, as we said.
What do you guys think of that right there, huh? Look at this woman's face. How many times have you seen that exact face in video of somebody being arrested at a protest? And look where we are. We're in a church. And everybody in blue is, you know, marked off as being specific players and parts. And the guy there is pretending to be. You see her face? Have you seen that face before? How Karen is that? Look at. Oh, my God. If you saw that and you didn't have context in it, you'd think this guy's hurting this woman right now. She's a good actress. Do you see that? Do you guys understand what's being done to you? Do you understand how manipulated you are? And my other assertion is that when you do this long enough and your side is a group of people who claim that people who are clearly mentally ill are virtuous and that we should all try to be more like them, that as part of that, remember I said you put the paid protesters in and then others come because now there's something to join. So you pay the core and try to build the organic. Some portion of those people will not just be mentally ill. They will be seriously, seriously depraved, mentally ill. Like some of these people, they are a case for bring back the asylums, or, you know, make asylums MAGA really means make asylums great again. You want proof? I got proof for you. And this is the one that I can't blow this video up because it's a reel on Facebook, so it's a vertical video, okay? But this one, you know, even though you might want to come check the video out to see these people, y'all on audio only, you don't need to. You don't need to at all. This is pretty.
They set our f***ing cab on fire.
The police? They wanted to kill you?
What are these f***ing leftists, f***ing pieces of shit?
What are these who?
They need to be held accountable. There's no accountability. I'm making them accountable.
Yeah.
These people are making them accountable.
What impact have you guys made on the ICE facility here?
Hard telling.
How's your guys' day been?
It's a black woman's owned company that makes these.
This is a black woman's company?
God isn't petty, I am. That's the name of the company.
Okay.
He's trying to sell half of America. He wants to give away all the blue states so that he can maintain a dictatorship over the red states.
You think he's, like, going to sell off the blue states? Your message to the ICE agents?
That Nuremberg trials will come. They will come to justice for putting people in death camps for this Nazi terrorist country.
Not good. Thank you.
Okay, I gotta play the one guy again. I mean, holy crap!
He's, like, gonna sell off the blue states. Your message to the ICE agents?
That Nuremberg trials will come. They will come to justice for putting people in death camps for this Nazi terrorist country.
Not good. Thank you.
I, who have been living in this world for a long time, am almost, not quite, but almost speechless seeing that. And there are people that will defend that man as beautiful and wonderful, and he is making a statement that benefits us all for the benefit of our children, our children's children, and their children. And those people are mentally ill as well. We have, and somebody recently just said here in the chat, I'm missing it now, but basically both sides are liars. Yeah. Both sides are guilty of selling a foul. I agree, but we're going to get to a point where, I mean, we'll talk about it later. You're going to get to a point soon in history where being in the middle is not going to be an option. And saying, well, I'm over here and I'm not part of it. The best block is no be there. I agree with that, but you can only get so far out of the way of people. Sadly, you're going to have to make a decision of which corrupt side is less corrupt. Is where we're going to end up today with this. And specialist libertarians, is what I call them, have divorced themselves from reality. And what I mean is that I'm all with hating the state. I know people have a hard time understanding that. But let's go back to, what did I say? His name was Bill, the asshole that shot Stan because Stan kicked his door in. Let's say we all agree Bill's still an asshole, but, you know, hey, Stan shouldn't kick his door in. And then there's a fire, and there's a little kid stuck in the car. And of all people, Bill runs up, wraps a jacket around his arm, busts the window, pulls the kid out of the car, and saves their life. Do we say, hey, he should have let that kid burn because there's no way Bill did anything good? Bill's wrong for saving that little girl at risk to his own. Like, there are times when even if I disagree with the state, I agree with what they're doing here. There is a law everywhere against murder. I think that's a good thing. And in most places, you know, if you murder somebody and, you know, we're not in a place like New York where if you happen to claim you're disadvantaged or whatever. In most places, if you murder somebody and you're convicted of it, you're going to prison for the rest of your life or you're getting a lethal injection. And the state does that. Special libertarians, I also think that's a good thing. When a pedophile gets thrown in a prison and gets ass raped for the rest of his life, I think that's a good thing. And when people who are here in our country illegally specifically are taking advantage of our generosity, committing fraud and committing crimes, and they are fucking trebucheted back into their country, I also think that is a good thing. That does not mean I want to deport everybody, though I think at this point maybe we need to. But it doesn't mean I want to. There are times when you have to do things you don't want to do. And all of these years of leaving the border wide open like a sieve are the actual cause of this. And it was all done to control you, and it was all done against you, and the people fighting the hardest to protect it are the people that are most adversely affected by it because they're mentally fucking ill. I'm sorry. I don't like saying that. I don't want that to be true. I don't want that to be true so I can be right. These are things that took me a long time. You know, when I started this show, I was basically a small government libertarian already. Over time, I converted into basically anarchism because I don't believe the state should be in charge of anything. But I've always also said I'm an idealistic anarchist and a pragmatic actual libertarian. In other words, I would love it if we could have private solutions to everything because most of these things that they use against you in this class of warfare wouldn't be a thing anymore. You wouldn't have illegal immigration because if you wanted to go somewhere, you pay the person that owns the place to go there, just like you do at a club. That's how that works. If you want to own a piece of land, you buy it or you lease it or rent it. It's your choice. But we live in the real world, the top of the bell curve. This is how things work, and you're over here going, but what about this one? Okay, we can talk about that one by itself, but in the general operations, we should stick to the 70-80% of reality because no one can do everything. And if you don't like that or you want to take away my anarcho or libertarian card, I don't happen to give a fuck because you don't have that authority over my life. No one is making you listen to me right now. You are fucking free right now to stop listening to me and never listen to me again. And you're free to go out and MF me to everybody that will listen to you and see if it matters. That's okay, too. I don't expect to be a protected class of citizen, unlike some of our special friends. Let's talk about some good news, because I said FAFO is happening. Well, and I will tell you, but I think people that are out there throwing rocks and shit at federal agents when they get arrested, good. That's FAFO. Sadly, that woman who died, that was an example of FA and FOing, but I put that in the same category as the lady that fell off the cliff in Las Vegas. It's tragic. I would say the lady who fell off the cliff was far less to blame, but it's the same thing in reality in that she mechanistically placed herself at risk of free will by her own choice, even if she didn't realize that's what she was doing. Can criminals be deported by catapult? They would under the King Jack regime, right? King Jack would have trebuchets and catapults deporting people. Now, that would be a last choice. Like, you can leave easy or you can trebuchet. Those are your choices. I mean, if we had actually controlled the borders and enforced the laws that were already on the books for the last 20 years, we wouldn't have this problem either. right? Trebuchet has better range. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what about RFK? RFK's, you know, he's got the bod for it too, man, for a guy his age. He's got a little bit Macho Man Savage. 1980s style, like 1986, top rope, elbow. I'm loving some of the stuff that Kennedy's doing. I won't want to go deep into the food pyramid because I covered it on Thursday, but the new food pyramid is glorious as compared to the old. But do you know who's really upset about it? Now, the media wants to tell you that all the doctors are upset about it. The doctors don't know shit about nutrition anyway, never did. If you ask the average person, how much has your doctor talked to you about nutrition, they'll tell you almost not at all. So just saying the cardiologists also, I don't give a fuck. Everybody says it's not an argument. Okay. And then the media, you know, the left wing media, oh my God, Trump's killing everybody. Hey, this is your Democrat RFK who you guys loved until he joined Trump. Okay. That's doing this. So just shut up a second. But that's just because they get marching orders, right? And then the crowd, the mob, it's Trump. It's Trump adjacent. So it must be bad, right? Because the left doesn't care what Trump does. He's wrong. Like, I didn't have this in the notes today, but I'll set this one little aside on this. And the special libertarians, I respect your opinion on this, even though I don't agree with it. Okay. But I respect your opinion because you've always been this way. Trump just put out a thing calling for, not declaring. Now, all the media said he declared it. No, no, because presidents don't have that power. He's not a dictator. Sorry. Sorry. But the credit card rates for 1 year should be capped at 10%. Oh, my God. That means poor. This is the objection that the left has. Poor people won't be able to get credit now. They have to go to pawn shops. Let me tell you something. If by law, the most you can charge for a credit card is 10% and you can't get a credit card, you shouldn't have one. But that's your choice to make. And if you're a special libertarian, I agree that you have a point. But the left has no point. The left, who's wanted pricing controls on everything for years. I mean, Bernie Sanders probably came in his pants when he heard that. Oh, I'm going to get that done for Trump, right? Like, come on. I mean, this is a leftist policy, and then the left hates it. Again, no credibility. Anyway, back to Kennedy. New food pyramid actually enrages big food. Big food. This would be a fun fucking experiment, right? With your kids, for your kids to have, especially homeschoolers, get a nutrition lesson. So get the new food pyramid and the guidance that goes with it, the PDFs I gave you last week. Go to the grocery store and ask your kids to find things that are not on the pyramid. Well, that's the whole fucking bread aisle. But it says you can have up to 4 servings of traditionally prepared whole grains, which none of that is, even the whole grain nutty bread. Right? Maybe back in the bakery where they make the bread and they have it in like the special bags and all, you might find 1 or 2 traditionally prepared sourdoughs that are made with sourdough starter, not modern yeast. They're actually fermented. They're probably going to be something like 60% wheat, 40% barley. That's what he's got on the food pyramid. So what about all the boxes of stuff? Did you see Kraft macaroni and cheese or ramen noodles or ho-hos or ding-dongs or anything like that? No, it's not there. Vegetables and fruits, a whole produce section. Yeah, that's good. Whole meat case. Good. Dairy case. Mostly good. But about 80% of the shit in the grocery store isn't even on it. No place. Big Food's very upset. When Big Food is upset, it's kind of like the left being upset. I'm kind of happy about it, right? He's also coming for SNAP next. Several states have put limitations on what food stamps can be spent on and wrote out things like soda and candy and shit like that. Well, Kennedy is going to use the power that he was given by Orange Man to eventually force this to a national policy, meaning if a state like California or Oregon says, we don't want to micromanage people's diets when they want to micromanage everything, but they want to oppose this because Trump, then, okay, that's fine. Then you won't be getting the funds that you use to pay it. If you want to pay it that way, you can pay it yourself. And that is something the executive has the power to do. And there might be a district judge here or there that says no, but eventually it will work its way up to where they'll say, well, actually, I checked the Constitution and you can't do this, so fuck off. So that's going to happen. And basically, no
no sugars, and no sodas and EBT. And again, even special libertarians do this. People should be able to choose what they eat. I completely agree if you're buying it with your own money. But you're not buying it with your own money. You're buying with money that was stolen from people that actually produce things. So that means the money can and should come with conditions. What is this idea that people should be able to get money from the state when they have tendered no service whatsoever other than their fat ass existence and then have no condition on how that money is spent? We already have conditions on how the money is spent. You can't use it to pay your rent, right? Can't buy drugs with it. Now, I'm telling you, there's people that think you should be like, just give it to them, let them do whatever they want with it. It's fucking food assistance. It should be for food. And Pepsi's not food. And you know the number one individual class of food purchased with EBT in total dollars, which about 10 to 12% is spent on one class of food. And you know what it is? Soda. So big food, big mad. See how that works? Pepsi Cola, big mad. Coca-Cola, big mad. Big mad. Big mad. No more sodas. That's coming. And now, and this is a bigger deal, and it's only a small amount so far, but $700 million is real money, okay? USDA, under Kennedy's direction, by the way, because he's over the whole fucking apparatus of government, right, as head of Health and Human Services, is moving to a regenerative soil approach. Now, I'm sure somehow the left will also say this is wrong because it's Trump adjacent, right? What I mean by that is they've moved $700 billion that has been used for things like subsidizing pesticides, et cetera, over to a different bucket, which most of it will probably go through NRCS to help farmers do more things like cover cropping and no-till and low input to no input farming, which makes the United States a hell of a lot more resilient and less dependent. Doesn't everybody remember how are the farmers going to fertilize their crops when they can't get urea from freaking Russia? Do we not remember? That was only 3 fucking years ago. So coming off chemical dependency for our farms and moving toward a regenerative natural approach pushed by microorganisms and organic methods, that's a good, somehow the left will still find flaw with this, but in the future, they'll say they love it. As soon as they don't have Trump to look at anymore, and they have long enough to forget where it came from. And they'll probably credit Obama with it or something, or Biden. But that's happening too. And Kennedy's coming for the drug companies next. I'm not going to pull them up. We're late in the show here, but I've got 3 links today of different things that are going on with the pharmaceuticals, and specifically, and this is might be the biggest one of all, and this is an FAFO, because for about 30 to 40 years, the drug companies have fucked around, and it's about time they found out. Because the problem is when you build an entire empire on something that can be taken away with one little swipe, your empire is highly at risk. It's like having this giant building, but instead of a wide foundation, it's sitting on one little pillar, and it's perfectly balanced. And it's so well balanced that even a storm won't blow the building over, but somebody can just come along like a giant and pull the pillar out. Now you got a fucking problem. And of course, I'm talking about advertising. For about 30 to 40 years, pharmaceutical companies have put very misleading advertisements on TV. And they've had happy fat people line dancing to sell weight loss drugs. And they've had people with type 2 diabetes who, you know, diet and exercise didn't work for. That's because they were eating ho-hos. And they've had all of these different drugs that they have put on television advertising. And as I've said many times, those advertisings, of course, the media is saying they're highly effective advertising. Oh, it's highly effective, but it's not highly effective at getting people to go ask your doctor and tell your doctor about your medical history. Hey, fuck sticks, I hope my doctor has my medical history. What kind of bullshit is that? That bullshit is a little breadcrumb they put in there because your mind passively goes, well, of course, my, oh, that, all these side effects, I don't need to listen to that, right? Don't take it if you're allergic to it and tell your doctor your medical history. Those are propaganda tools to make you disregard all the other negative shit they have to say about their drugs. Okay. What was it highly effective at, though? I mean, since they're spending the money, they might as well do the advertisements in a way that might get you to ask your doctor. You might as well try for it, and it'll have a limited effect. They never get an ROI on it directly, though. They would never get an ROI on it directly. You know what they get ROIs on? The media. Because, let's see, Kevin Trimmer 76 here. If Kevin Trimmer 76 has KT7 News, right, agency, and you have your own cable channel, Kevin, and you are the bigwig CEO of KT7 News, and you're as big as Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whoever, and you make your money primarily on advertisements. And every third advertisement on KT7 News is pharmaceutical advertising from Jax Pharmaceuticals, okay? Well, here's the thing. That's a lot of money because everybody else is little pieces and parts. You know, you got a guy selling pillows and a guy selling gold, right? And a guy selling, like, financing the seniors and somebody else selling beet juice and whatever, right? But none of them compare to the pharmaceutical monolith that's a third or a half, from a third to a half of your revenue. So when there's a story that's about to come out that says, hey, maybe we shouldn't be using so many drugs, and I make a fucking phone call and I call your assistant and I say, I want to talk to fucking Kevin. And she says, who is this? And I say, this is President Jack Spirico of Pfizer. Mr. Timmer will be with you in just a moment. And I'm going to talk to you. And when I say, listen, asshole, if you run these pieces, I'm just going to advertise a lot less with you and put my advertising budget more over on RS7 News instead of KT7 News. What are you going to do? Honestly, legally, you have a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders, since you're a public company, to actually acquiesce to what I want, because it will be damaging to you economically if you do not. So the media big mad and the drug companies are big mad. And what are they actually doing behind the scenes? If you, and again, there's some links that you can look into, but there's actually a whole lot going on within the marketing departments, as you might imagine, of these scumbag companies. And they have a plan. This is their plan. They're going to start aggressively marketing that there is treatment for condition X in a generic way. Instead of saying, hey, if you're a fat ass, use Ozempic or Wegovy or whatever. Wegovy, right? Instead of doing that, they'd be like, and what they'll do is they'll pull their money. Like, the competitors will cooperate, Rico, and they'll get together, right? Right? They'll get together and they'll cooperate. And they'll say, if you're overweight, there are now medical treatments that are proven safe and effective. You should talk to your doctor. And that won't fall under a ban on advertising pharmaceutical drugs, because it will be advertising that there is treatment for medical conditions. That's their plan. So they can keep funneling money to Fox News and NBC and CBS and Disney and everybody else. Because all they care about is that they have a legal way to buy influence in the media and in government. This will at least make it harder. And if they're smart, they'll say, no, you don't get to do that either. But that's going to be hard. That would be hard to actually defend in court. And maybe it should be. Then I have another question for you. There's a new meme starting, and I don't mean like the kind that we send around. I mean like the government put out a thing and it becomes like a thing that people say, and it goes to all the networks and all the media, talking heads repeat it. We need to figure out who's funding these protests. What a fucking novel idea. So I'm not going to go long on this, but in the audio notes, if you're watching the video, right down there is a link in the video notes. And if you're watching me live, it won't be up for about another hour. Once this gets done, I'll get the audio side out. But there'll be a link, and you can get over there, and you can find a link that says video here. And you can see me 6 months ago, right before the first No Kings big protest, explain exactly who's funding everything. And give you paper trail that goes back to the exact organizations and the exact people that are funding everything. So this is my question, right? Because I might sound like I've come off on the side of the Trump government here. What the fuck is going on? What do you mean you need to figure out? Why is Ted Cruz saying this? How can a redneck hippie duck farmer podcaster
6 months ago tell you, here's all the people, here's all the paperwork, here's all the statements, here's all the public records. And if you go watch that video and you look at the sources in it, I sourced every, I went over the top sourcing it. There's no two source rule in this. It's like a 50 source rule for that presentation. Because in journalism, if you don't have two sources, it's not confirmed. Two independent sources, that's how you confirm something. I like 50 of them in there. I even made a document that goes with it that's like pages of sources that show every. How can I, sitting here by myself using the fucking internet and public records, determine all that shit, and Ted Cruz with the Office of Senator just can't figure it out? It's almost like they don't actually want to fix the problem. It's almost like they made a big show of bringing in a freaking trillionaire to run Doge and find all the fraud and put it in front of you and go, that's nice that you know it's there now, but yeah, we're not going to do anything about it. Well, the president can't do it. He needs the, you got the Senate and you got the House and the fucking goddamn head of the Senate, right? The Senate majority or Thune voted against making the cuts permanent. And like half the Republicans in the Senate, not one or two that spoiled it with a thin majority, like half of them. And they're all the big name sleazes. So maybe, just maybe, that none of these problems are actually supposed to be solved. Because if you solve the problems, then you'd have, you know, nothing to leverage anymore. I don't know. Here's my other question. Why are protesters that block cars, interfere with agents doing their jobs? How is it that a United States ICE agent is walking forward to clear an area and a protester puts their hands on him? How is that person not immediately arrested? I'm not talking about the guy that's like, not touching, can't get bad, and just keeps going backwards and backwards and backwards. I'm talking about the guy that pushes back. How's that person not immediately arrested? Oh, you didn't really, he didn't really hurt him. No. Supposedly, these guys are trying to do their job, which is to remove people, most of whom have warrants for their arrest for crimes beyond immigration, from the country, and they're engaged in lawful operations, and a citizen comes into that and interferes with them, that is a federal crime. Whether you think they should be arrested or not, I'm asking from the view of the government here, why aren't they being immediately arrested? When a ICE agent or a DEA agent or any agent, right, any law enforcement is driving a vehicle and these people throw themselves on the hood and try to block the vehicle from moving forward, why are they not immediately arrested? When women like this poor lady, if they would have arrested this woman the minute she blocked another ICE vehicle with her vehicle for obstruction, she would be alive and probably free. Why are we not investigating these people and removing the problem immediately? And sending the message, if you do this, you'll be arrested, because that will only go on about a week before you look around and go, man, all my comrades are not here anymore. Why are we not doing it? If the government that's in charge right now actually wants to do what it says it wants to do, why are they not arresting these people? The only plausible explanation I've heard is because a lot of these federal judges will just let them go, because this is not taking them down to the, you know, Minneapolis PD headquarters. If you get arrested by ICE, you're probably getting turned over to the FBI for prosecution. And the FBI is going to take you and put you in front of a federal judge and say, we want to charge this person with XYZ. And a lot, but this is what happens. If you're Minneapolis, you're probably going in front of a very liberal judge. And so the theory is that they're trying to figure out how to do it and they can't. You know what? I think you can hold a person for 48 hours before you put them in front of a judge. If you put them in a 48-hour timeout alone, that would probably begin to slow that down. I also don't know that you have to take them to a particular judge. And the left judge shocks all the time. Why aren't we doing this? And this is Machiavelli, right? Like paraphrasing Machiavelli. Those who are kind when they should be cruel will have to be cruel when they should be kind, which, by the way, is the whole problem. By being kind and leaving the border open, we have to be cruel to put the people back out. That's how that happened. Why are we still doing this? I don't know.
And maybe it is just the fact that when they have done it, they have always had these people released and they decided it's not worth it. I would do it anyway. I would paddy wagon the motherfuckers to a camp. That's a concentration camp. Call it whatever the fuck you want to. You're not going to be there for the rest of your life. You're not going to a gas chamber. Shut the fuck up just for 2 days. And then I'd let them go and they'd have to fucking walk. Right? Don't let these people continue to do things that are unlawful. Unless you want them to. That's what I'm getting at here. This is actually a criticism, if you can't tell, of Orange Man. Right? And I do have some good news, though. And I've pointed this out. People get mad at me, but most of these protesters are boomers. They're old people. I mean, there's some young ones here and there scattered about, but all these pictures over the weekend, there were 300 people that showed up in Dallas. Dallas, Fort Worth, has a population of 6 million. 300 ain't a mouse fart. But when you look at the picture, they're all 60, 70-year-old people. It looks like an outing for an old folks home or something. Why is it all old people? I think they're making some pocket money, honestly. Old people have networks, and there's old people networks, and leftists have networks of old people, and it makes them pretty easy to say, hey, if you want to make $150 today, show up with your knitting needles over at, you know, so-and-so park or something like that. I don't know why exactly, but I'll tell you why I think it's great. It means they can't get enough youth. Again, there is a little bit of a strategic advantage by putting grandma out there because she's less likely to have tear gas dropped on her or whatever. But why are there no, why don't we have these protests with 400 people with 250, 300 of them being, you know, the young Gen Zs? Right. That are always the target for this. Where are they? I think the voodoo hypnotism of our youth is starting to wear off. And in every major turn into totalitarianism, it has always been the youth that were used as useful idiots to get it done. It happened in Germany in World War II. It happened in Iran in the 70s. The Iranian Revolution, that most of you talk shit about Iran today, don't know anything about. Because even I was a little kid when it happened. I was in like second grade when the hostages came home from Iran. Maybe first grade, something like first or second grade. But I was a curious person and I wanted to know more, especially as I was like a teenager in high school and I was still relatively new. But what happened in Iran was the United States did install a Shah. And we were basically running a puppet government because a lot of shit that happens in the U.S. is, or in the Middle East, is the U.S.'s fault. But the students who ran the revolution, the young people who were the revolution that took Iran away from the United States, did not want mullahs running the country. They didn't want Ayatollah, blah, 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 blah. Diaper face running their country. They thought they were going to have independent Iran. Iran for Iranians. And they, none of them thought that all of the girls would be in burqas a few years later like they were. None of them thought that. They were deceived, which is why they always target the youth. The youth are ambitious. The youth are energetic. The youth are willing to take risks that older people are not. The youths have little, therefore they're willing to risk much. Youths also always have this idea of, sure, some people will die, but not me. That's why they like to recruit 17 and 18-year-olds into the military. That's why they do that, because but not me. Well, yeah, I mean, it's dangerous if people are, but not me. It won't happen to me. Yeah, 1 in 3 people get cancer, but it won't be me. So they always do this. It's almost like they went to the box that they get their young idiots from, and it's getting decidedly emptied. And I think this is, there's a big bifurcation in that demographic as well, male, female. Young men are not about any of this shit except the completely beta cuck ones. I'm sorry if that's you. It's true, right? Just go find a boyfriend for your wife right now. That's all you got to do and live your happy little cuck life, because
That's the men that are for this, especially at that age. You have to be a passive beta ass man. You have to be a beta of betas to be okay with this shit if you're a 16, 17, 18-year-old, 20-year-old, 22-year-old male. Like, this doesn't make any sense to a man. And there is a point where if you have a large enough block of the male demographic that the girls eventually go, wait a minute, this lesbian thing, like, that's not me. And, you know, I like all my gay male friends, but they're not really, like, useful to me for, like, dating and stuff and buying me shit and taking me on dates. And I, wait a minute, like, it starts to get really lonely. And I'm not going to say that they all move back over, but slowly all the time, the split stops. I think they're running out of young people to do this with. And I know if you watch TikTok videos and shit, that's hard to believe, but that's a narrow slice of a narrow slice of a narrow slice designed to make you think it's totality. It's another form of psyop. It's another form of propaganda and mind control. Because when I am at something with like my grandkids and my nieces and nephews, and I listen to kids talk, because they never think adults listen, and I listen to what they say, they tend to do gravitate toward a bit of the wokeism, but more of like a philosophical thing, but not, well, that's not us. I think they're running out of the ability to use kids, and that's why they're turning to grandma and grandpa. Because grandpa just goes where he's told, and grandma goes where the TV tells her and the AARP tell her to go. The AARP that says they're nonpartisan, but completely told their own members to shut the fuck up when Obamacare was passed. And not to get in the way of it. Yeah, that's nonpartisan. Yeah, bullshit. So I think it's kind of good there. But I want to get to like a really serious moment here with you guys. And you're not going to like what I have to say. I don't think anybody's going to like this. Unless you're already all in on the right. I don't think you're going to like what I have to say. And I don't like saying it, but it's going to be true. We are at a point of societal bifurcation. Libertarians, anarchists, you know, Green Party, whatever third party shit you come up with, we will always be the, even if all of us united and we can't because we hate each other, we are always going to be the minority of minorities. We do not have enough ideological commonality with either side to even be like, you know, the revolution was the 3%, but it was the 3% willing to risk what 70% were willing to back. You see what I'm saying? There is not enough libertarians, anarchists, peaceniks, whatever you want to call us, to drive society's decisions going forward. And society is splitting into. And it's splitting into this world. I'm going to put this back up again. It's splitting into the world run. And I'm sorry if you disagree, but it is. It's splitting to the world run by these people.
On fire.
The police? They wanted to kill you?
What are these leftists, pieces of shit?
What are these who?
They need to be held accountable. There's no accountability. I'm making them accountable.
Yeah.
These people are making them accountable.
What impact have you guys made on the ICE facility here?
Hard telling.
How's your guys' day been?
It's a black woman's owned company that makes these.
This is a black woman's company?
God isn't petty, I am. That's the name of the company.
Okay.
He's trying to sell half of America. He wants to give away all the blue states so that he can maintain a dictatorship over the red states.
You think he's like going to sell off the blue states? Your message to the ICE agents?
That Nuremberg trials will come. They will come to justice for putting people in death camps for this Nazi terrorist country.
Not good.
You're going to have to pick between the people that side with that and the people that don't. I don't like it either. But there does come points in society. Let me put it a different way. Because everybody likes it. Well, the Nazis were just following. The Nazis this, the Nazis that. Nazis. They you're just following orders like that. Okay, let's use that World War II then. I can make tremendous cases against the Allies during World War II for many of the things the Allies did. Firebombing Dresden, Yeah, that would be one. Systemic racism and then drafting black people into your military, because there was systemic racism in the 40s. Okay, that actually was a thing back then. Firebombing many cities in Japan with napalm, and not firebombing like, you know, industrial facilities and all, but I'm talking like neighborhoods where houses were built out of sticks and paper. Bombing the cities in Europe into oblivion, where it was all civilians that were primarily affected. The Nazis did it too. I know, but I thought you said that we were better than them. Okay? And we were. I'm saying that both sides committed atrocities. Yeah. Got that? But if you had any fucking brains and knew what was going on, one side was less bad than the other by a huge degree. Yeah? I think we're there now. And I think our old allies are no longer allies. I don't think we need NATO anymore, by the way. I think NATO should have disappeared on December 26th, what was it, 1991? Something like that. Was it 91 or 92? I don't remember. The day the Soviet Union said, we're done, we quit. And then people tore down the Berlin Wall and everybody's like, okay. All the Soviet guys just like, the East Germans just put their guns down and went, okay, go ahead. Like, that should have been the end of NATO. What was the purpose of NATO? The purpose of NATO was to defend Europe against the Iron Curtain, which was now gone. But what was the threat of the Iron Curtain? They wanted to implement what? Socialism, which is basically just a different form of fascism, or fascism, a different form of socialism throughout Western Europe. We needed to protect our allies. We all needed to stand together. Europe is more fascist today, except they're like Democrat socialist fascists today, than the Soviet Union ever was. And the Soviet Union is not there. And Europe has willingly embraced socialism, which is just another word for communism. So what are we doing? We're aligning with communists. They're not communists. They're not fascists. When you go to somebody's house, and to use your own words, special folks, you kidnap them, which actually means you arrest them. You bring them in and formally charge them, and you sentence them to 2 years in jail because of a social media post that said something like, hey, why are we letting all of these people in from North Africa to destroy our country? Because that's an incitement of violence. You are no longer an American ally, and that is the United Kingdom today. And they've done it thousands of times, not isolated, thousands of times. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we willingly embracing? You know what we're doing? We're doing exactly what Khrushchev said we would do. Khrushchev said there's no need for the Soviet army to march on the West. We will just wait until their decadence leads them to fall like a ripe apple into our hands. He might be long dead, but that's the fuck what we're doing. Russia's less communist than fucking Europe is today. I'm sorry. It is true. I didn't say they were good. I didn't say they were wonderful. I said they are less communist. Go look at the reality on the ground and see it for yourself. We have hit a point where you're going to have to pick a side. You're going to have to pick your side. All you guys are trying to convince me to vote, that was your case to me. Now I'm making a case. You don't like it, I'm making a case back to you. I'll vote third party. That won't work in the real world. Voting is not real. If voting was real, they wouldn't let you do it. It's a mechanism to control those power control. It is not a mechanism to control those in power. It's to give you the illusion of choice. And sometimes you get to make a little bit of a choice, but the overriding macro doesn't change. I'm telling you, even if Cackles and Tampon were in the White House right now, AI would still be growing like crazy. We'd still have contentions with China. They'd be talking about Venezuela instead of doing something about it, but in the end, it would be the same overriding macro. The changes we've got, you know, there is some things that are actually moving in the right direction, and that's kind of my point. I said this weekend in a post I did of something else Trump did, I won't get into what it was, but like for everything the guy does that pisses me off,
and I put frequently in parentheses right after that, he turns around and does something that I actually find to be good. And you know what? I can't say the same thing about people like Barack Obama, George Bush, and Bill Clinton, but I can say something they did. Maybe it was 2 out of 10 things or 1 out of 10 things. So I was like, okay, I will acknowledge that was good. And that's the difference between people like me and people on the left. No matter what Donald Trump does, it's all bad. And the reality is about half of it is good. And a lot of it is things Democrats said they wanted forever. There was a guy one time, he said something like, oh, it was like 2008 or 2009. And he said, Barack Obama will get reelected in a landslide and hold 2 terms. And he will be followed by a Republican strongman who will get things done the Democrats have always wanted done that no Democrat would ever be able to get done. Any of you guys were around long enough? You remember when I said that in 2009, 2010, over and over again, that would happen? Before the second election, before Obama was reelected, I already said he would get reelected in a landslide and then that would happen. And then what caught me off guard was a potato salad came from right field, man. That was crazy. He's about the only president that I can say I can't think of a single good thing the guy did in 4 years. I can tell you good things Carter did, and I really hated him. I guess I hated him as a historical look back. I was too young to care. I was shitting my pants when he first got into office, right? Not quite. Wasn't far out of it, though. I still have my mommy helping me blow my nose, right? So I can't really say anything about what I – but when I look back historically at Carter, there's a lot I go, what a fucking retard. But I can still – that this was good, that was good, this was good, peppered through. If you can't do that for most presidents – and maybe somebody will send me some. Biden actually did blow – and I'll come back on the air tomorrow or next week and go, okay, yeah, you're right. But I can't think of anything I observed that I thought was actually a positive move for the country. And I think that's where we've gotten, where the left is not going to have any positive moves for the country at all. None. Maybe you get what you want, but it's not a positive move for the United States, for America. And the right seems to at least try at times to do that. So what side are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the side of delusional, mentally ill people? You know, here's another example of the hypocrisy of the left. It dumbfounds me. The left invented the term MAP for pedophiles, minor attracted persons, right? We can't call them pedophiles. They're just attracted to minors. And no one should ever do anything like that that's not consensual, but they can't help how they feel, and we should understand them. Well, then the whole Epstein debacle comes up with the refusal to release the Epstein files, which I think should be done. And all of a sudden, the left has a problem with pedophiles. Get the fuck out of here. You don't get to do that. You don't get to invent a nice little, you know, cushy, soft, squishy-sounding name for them and put them apart and go, we're going to protect you. Oh, no, we hate them because Trump. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Do you want me to defend not releasing the Epstein files? Sorry, can't do it. I can give you reasons, but I can't defend it as an overall macro. No, I want them released and not redacted to the point where you can't read anything. But the left, when the left says, he's protecting pedos and he's a pedo and they have no evidence of that at all, shut up. And anybody that said MAP before that, shut up. I don't have any time for you. And this is why I think the left is scum. But Jack, I'm on the left and I'm not scum. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe you are. I'm sorry. Maybe you're not. And maybe you're just deceived. Maybe you're retarded, willfully retarded. I don't know. But the side is evil, and it's inherently on the side of evil. And when they object to things that you agree with, libertarians, like not bombing a country, remember, they're only objecting against it because of who's doing the bombing. If Joe Biden ordered the bombing, if Barack Obama ordered the bombing, if Kamala Harris had won and ordered the bombing, they would celebrate it. If somehow Cackles Harris, because you wouldn't have been behind it, if somebody in the deep state decided it was time for Maduro to go, which, by the way, is probably what actually happened, and convinced her, you have to do this, and she said, okay, Cackle, we'll do it, and then it was pulled off exactly the same way, CNN and MSNBC would be like, you know, it is amazing. It is so inspiring what this woman did for the freedom of the world. and the right would condemn it. So I have no respect for either of them in that regard. I'm still saying, if you make me pick between that right there, for those of you on the video, if you make me choose between that and what the average person on the right is like, I know what choice I've made. Let's do a couple of questions and then wrap up here. Bad Hog 1776, Jack, why doesn't Denmark and subsequently Europe as a whole simply work with the U.S. and trade Greenland for all the debt they, Europe, and the military aid we've given them since World War II? Because they don't want to. Because Europe is run by leftists. And because it is a pretty valuable thing to hold on to as a territory. And if I were Denmark, I wouldn't want to give it up either. I certainly wouldn't just do it willy-nilly. But the real answer is the same reason that they tell you that protests are fiery and mostly peaceful. Europe is run by leftists. The people you think of as conservative in Europe are still leftists. They're just leftist lights. They're more like leftists in the United States in 1990 than 2026. And the actual leftists, the full-on open avowed leftists in Europe, are left of the most radically left people in the United States today. They are left of the average Soviet government employee in the 1970s and 80s. They are radically left. And claiming there is a threat is always a benefit to government. In fact, the right in the United States is trying to sell you on a threat to justify us taking Greenland as a territory. If we don't do it, Russia or China will. Have you noticed they haven't provided any evidence of this other than, look at the globe from the top, as though nobody ever did that before. Like, you can only understand Greenland if you look at it from the North Pole. Okay, I look at it. It's there. I see it. It's the same as it was for the last, billion years, and I think it's okay. I don't think it's under any direct threat from China or Russia. I don't see that. But Europe is now acting like the United States is about to go on to a full amphibious military assault on Greenland. Would they know we're not going to? France is like, if you do that, we will fight you. No, you won't, you pussy little frog-ass fucks. You know, there was a joke during World War II about French tanks. They had 5 speeds. The issue was 4 of them were in reverse. Shut up. You guys have very short memories, frogs. I'm sorry. They're not going to do anything, but they know they're not going to do anything. This is all like, and talking about like, well, maybe we need to get rid of U.S. military bases in Europe. Fuck that shit. I'm into that. You ain't threatening me with a good time, baby. Let's go. I don't want any U.S. presence in Europe. We don't need it. Well, we need it for strategic. We need it to defend them. Why are we defending people who have chosen to go full socialist already supposedly from socialism? What do we get out of NATO? Well, 9/11, that's when everybody, they didn't do jack shit relative to what the United States did. And what we did was a fucking mistake. If we hadn't had NATO, maybe we wouldn't have been so fucking brazen about going to Afghanistan and Iraq at the same time. When Iraq didn't have a fucking thing to do with it. Not a fucking thing. At least some people in Afghanistan had something to do with it. The real people that did it were the fucking Saudis, talking out of both sides of their mouth. So the one place that the Article 5 was invoked was a fucking mistake. It was a fucking mistake. So what is the purpose of this? So that we can better bomb people in the Middle East? I don't want to do that either. We don't need this. The United States can reach any part of the world, from the United States and from places where we do have bases where we are wanted. Do you know who would suffer the most if we closed like military bases in Germany, especially because they're really big? Germany. So when they say, oh, we should take your bases away, they don't want to. Go ahead. I don't give a fuck. Pay for it yourself. Pay for your own defense, you fucks. Maybe you wouldn't have all these social welfare programs if you actually had to commit to your own defense. So, yeah. Why don't they do it? Because they benefit by the implicit or the implication that there is a military threat. We've always been at war with East Asia. It just reminds you that Orwell was from the United Kingdom. Just remind you of that. Ben Dykes says, fellow channel here, ban the morons. Ben, thank you for the $2 super chat. I appreciate that. Next one is 63 Space Girl. If the protesters are found to be paid by other countries, are they not agents of that country? Yeah, but you would never prove it. They would have to be directly paid and with their knowledge. So there is dark money that flows into places like this from other countries, but the honest truth is most of it comes from our own government. USAID was a huge source of that money being funneled. But USAID is shut down. Yeah, but they're still funneling. They just moved who funnels the money over, and most of the funding is still happening. We might be paying for a few less drag queen shows in Ireland and transsexual operas in Colombia, but that money is still flowing. So most of the people being paid are being paid by surrogates and groups that are adjacent to people like the Tides Foundation, which is an American company. So if, let's say, Venezuela was directly cutting checks, right, and so you knew you were being paid by the government of Venezuela or the government of Panama or the government of Russia or the government of Germany, you could make the case that they were behaving as a foreign agent with significantly additional penalty. But you can't, and you won't, and the people doing this are financially incredibly sophisticated people. And most of what they're doing from a financier standpoint is completely legal with enough layers in between to create something called plausible deniability, making them almost impossible to prosecute, especially when many of them are actually foreign citizens or dual citizens who live outside of U.S. jurisdiction. So that's why I'm never for new laws, but I'm actually for a law that would make it easier to prosecute the people that fund these protests for what happens, to prosecute them for the property damage, loss of life, and the causes of injury that they should have known were probable when they funded the event. We have laws for that, but they're literally unenforceable because nobody leaves loopholes like government. Yeah. And sometimes that benefits us and sometimes it doesn't. Question from AK and Glock Guy. Are you worried about quantum computing? No. I'm not even reading the rest of it. I know it's going to say Bitcoin. I don't have to. No, I'm not worried about quantum computing at all. Infinity. No. AEC213. What would you do to get out of debt fast without going to a debt consolidation group? You're not going to get out of debt fast if you're asking me that question. You can get out of debt, but you're not going to get out of debt fast. This isn't a secret. Dave Ramsey's been teaching it for 30, 40 years. It's called debt snowball. You take your smallest debt and you put every extra penny you can get on that debt and you pay it until the smallest debt is gone. And then you take all that money and you roll it onto your next highest debt and you pay on that until it's gone and you keep going. And Ramsey has terrible investing advice, but great debt advice. And they've tracked this, and it takes the average person 3 to 5 years to get completely out of debt with that method, no matter where they start, no matter their income, and no matter their debt level. And the final debt is generally paid off faster than the first debt. So you have to have a long enough time horizon to see that. Debt consolidation companies are not the place to go. There's no secrets that credit card companies don't want you to know about. The credit card companies own the collection agencies, and they also own the debt relief agencies, and they all work together and they all collude together, and they know certain people are never going to pay directly. So they funnel you into an indirect way. They tell you it's going to save your credit, and it destroys your fucking credit while you're doing it anyway. So that's what you do. You dig yourself out of the hole you put yourself into. I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for you. But short of knocking over a Brinks truck or something, which is not a good idea, not a good idea at all. That's the truth. That's the truth. With that, we are done, for today, unless anybody has anything else for me in a few minutes while I'm closing up. I know that you probably heard a lot of things today you didn't want to hear from me. I know that you guys want me to be that libertarian anarchist and purist against government, no matter what government does. But I'm an adult. I'm an adult with a son and grandchildren who thinks about his future. And I am both liberal and conservative, which is the true definition of a libertarian, not the modified fucked up one when the freaking transsexual retards took over the Libertarian Party about 15 years ago. It's when it started. Okay. That's what I am. And I'm also a pragmatist. And no matter how much I dislike a person, when a person is right, a person is right. And when a person does a good thing, a person does a good thing. And no matter how much I like a person, when a person does a bad thing, they have done a bad thing, and they are bad in that way. I'm going to tell you that all the way back, there was a couple girls that were being held illegally by North Korea. And of course, Kim Jong Ding Dong wants to be get attention. So Bill Clinton, this is after, he was not president. Bush was president when this happened. Pretty sure Bush was president. Either Bush was president or maybe it was early in Obama administration. Bill Clinton traveled to North Korea. He met with Kim. He negotiated the release of these girls, and he got them released and brought back home. And I said, good. Good on him. But it's Bill Clinton. But good. Like, see, if you can't do that, if you can't admit when someone you don't like did a good thing, when you can't admit with somebody who you generally disagree with is right in an instance where they're right because they have, then you're no better than these lunatics on the left that would protest if Trump cured cancer because he's putting doctors out of jobs. And some people would. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. But you're living through a time of flux in history, folks, and you're going to have to decide who to saddle up with. And you're not going to like your choices. And you can look back to any time this has happened in history, any time there's been a massive bifurcation in history. Go back to the Crusades, right? Go back to the Crusades and the Knights Templar and the rule by royalty in Britain. Go back that far and tell me you can't find 100 things wrong with the West. But tell me that in the conflict between the West and the Moors that pushed the Moors and Islam out of Spain, that it wasn't clear which bad side was better. And tell me you're not living through something that's equally a threat right now. We have declining birth rates. We have declining health. We have declining nutrition. We have declining every positive metric that there is. And the people who caused all the problems say that the problems will be fixed if we do more of the things that cause the problems. At some point, we have to say no. At some point, no, it is not okay for your 14, 15, 16-year-old son that weighs 200 pounds to go into a bathroom with my daughter. No, that's not okay, and I'm not going to pretend that it is. I'm not even going to pretend that is a reasonable thing for debate. I'm not going to pretend that. I'm not going to pretend that it's okay to put a male into a combat sport like boxing against a female because the guy wears a dress when he goes out. That is not open for debate. I'm not willing to discuss it with you. I'm not going to say that both sides always have a point or both sides always deserve respect because sometimes one side doesn't. I'm not going to do that here. I've drawn a line. And by the way, I didn't draw that line today or recently. I drew that line a long time ago, but the line got really black and really clear for me the day Charlie Kirk was shot. That's when I started saying what? Those days are over. Those days are over. I'm not even willing to pretend to listen anymore. Well, that's bad when you... Not to that, I'm not. I'm not listening to anything. I'm not listening to this motherfucker right here as though anything he says is to be respected. I'm not listening to these people. I'm not listening to people that are spouting absolute falsehoods as though they're truth anymore. And I don't think you should either. And I don't think this needs to be the center focus of your life. But I think in the macro, you need to ask yourself, where do I fall in this? Because if you don't think this can descend into actual physical conflict, and a messy, disgusting civil war like this country has never known. Because we would not, if this goes that way, we will not have anything that looks like the 1860s. It won't look anything like that. The blue and the gray and rules of warfare and marching and battles. No. This will look a lot more like Bosnia-Herzegovina. That's what it'll look 1,000 times worse because we're a lot bigger, we're a lot better armed, and we have a lot of more fucked up people in this country. And you better think, if that day comes, where you stand. And you better start making connections with people that are already on the side you're going to choose now. Because I would love to tell you it ain't going to happen. And I would tell you, I don't think it's going to happen. But when I say that, I mean that I think the odds are 70% that it won't and 30% that it will. And 30% is a big fucking number. And that's over the next 5 years, 10 years. I think in time, sooner or later, it has to happen. Because it always has. Because it always has. Every major empire has eventually met its end. And when it has, it's always looked messy and dirty. And it's something you need to understand, too, about like, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. When you're talking about like ICE and Trump and the parts you don't like, you are in a period that I told you also all the way back in 2008, 2009, 2010, my OGs who are here, back me up on this, right? I said the period of time between 2020 and 2030 would be the greatest period of flux that anybody in the living world had ever seen. That not necessarily would it be bigger flux than what happened in the past, but no living human would be able to point to a time with more flux than this decade that you're sitting smack in the middle of right now. I said that in 2008, 2009. Where's my OGs? Tell me I was wrong. We're freaking 6 years into this now. Tell me I was wrong. Tell me there was anything that I said that wasn't correct there. Here's the thing about flux. It's always painful. It's always dirty. It never looks good. And it always hurts. Plenty of opportunity in it. But it's never easy. I got an OG here. I remember. Yeah. I got one more question and I'm going to go, but I don't understand the question. If you want to make it clear, go ahead. Question. Thanks. I got fired back in October. I don't understand. Did I comment to you earlier? I guess, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that, man. So I'll give you just a moment to add on to that. If I'm supposed to, like, are you asking me how to get a job or whatever? I don't know what you're asking because that's not I got fired in October is a statement, not a question. And I don't know what to do with it, but I want to help you if I can. This person here says, I believe you said the 2020s would be a shit show. I said that too. Oh, that was a debt question. Oh, that was the guy with the debt question. Yeah, man. The fact that you got fired doesn't change that. You need a job. You need to do what it takes to get the best job you can. You need to side hustle your ass off until you find a better job. You need to go do anything. If you right now, I'm going to answer this more as an employment question, and then we're going to wrap than a debt question. If you are unemployed at any time, good or bad, you need a job as fast as possible. You need any job. I don't care if you're tending bar. I don't care if you're waiting tables. And if you do not have a job, you need to pretend you have a job when you interview. Because if I'm interviewing you, when unemployment's under 5%, and what are you doing right now? I don't have a job. I lost my job. Well, okay, I'm not hiring you. I'm not hiring you. Unless I'm desperate, unless you do exactly what I need and you're very good at it and I'm getting you cheap because you need me more than I need you. That's the only way I'm hiring you. If there's 5 people applying for a job and 4 of them have jobs and 1 doesn't, you got no chance. If your job is I work as a part-time janitor for the school because that's what men do when they don't have a job, you just went to the top of the fucking list. Cause I know I'm hiring somebody that when I say this is what this company needs, you're going to go herd and you're on it. You're going to take it like a mission. Because if you're willing to do that, and I'm willing to pay you a hell of a lot better to do work you would rather do, then I know that you are going to be the kind of person that I can count on. That's what you, so that's the general angle there. Anyway, decision time's coming. Decision time's coming. Decision time's already here. Just no one has forced you to make a choice yet. And if you believe that you should truly step to the side of this and let it bypass you, best block, no be there, good luck. Because this is what I've determined about the modern left. There is only one thing that we have really asked for when it comes to people that are truly on the right, that are truly right wing or truly libertarian. Both of us have one thing in common. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Do what you want, but leave me and my children and my grandchildren alone. Leave my church alone. Leave my home alone. Leave my school alone. You want to go off and do your own thing, go do it, but leave me alone. I don't give a fuck where you go. I don't care how far you retreat. They are not going to leave you alone. They will never leave you alone. If you go set up your little community in northern Idaho, they'll come there to fuck with you sooner or later. As soon as they find out you're there, they will not be able to stand that somebody actually has put themselves in a position where you have to leave them alone, and they will figure out how to not leave you alone. It's been done over and over and over and over again. If you move your family into the mountains, some ATF agent will try to trick you into cutting a tube an inch too short so they can raid your house and kill your fucking children. And by the way, please remember who the fuck was president when that happened, when you start talking about Nazis and fascists. Because it wasn't a Bush. It wasn't a Bush. Anyway, with that, I hope you guys did enjoy today's show. I hope it was worth doing. Again, these are not the type of shows I generally like to do, but I can just look at the head count, see how many people are here from all different sources and say, this is what y'all want. But maybe you got in the way you didn't want it today. Tomorrow we will talk about something way more proactive for building a better life. Take care, guys. I'll catch you tomorrow with that. They said you should have a house the American way. $1 down, $1 a month.